We've spoken to Joni Purcell before. She's out on the road with her Harley Davidson and a friend of hers, and she is riding around this beautiful country of ours, and I believe she's also riding around the beautiful country of Canada, too, to raise funds for something that's close to my heart, close to many people's heart, and that is to try to eradicate Parkinson's disease. The research and everything costs so much money. And the wonderful folks that Drive Toward a Cure, I don't know if you remember last year, we talked to Jeff Ehuden weekly on his travels with his Toyota Tacoma pickup all over the country. Well, Joni has been on the road this year and raising money, and she's done a fine job of that. And anytime I get a chance to talk to someone on a Harley Davidson, I seize the opportunity. And because that's what you have to do in life. You have to seize the opportunity. So please join me in welcoming Joni Purcell, who is out on the road. Or I don't know, Joni, are you home now?
No, I'm still on the road. We're in Montana, and by Anaconda, Montana, which is
Anaconda, Montana. It sounds like something from a Three Stooges short. Anaconda, Montana.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Whereabouts
in the state is Anaconda?
We just left. Where'd we leave? Butte, Montana. We've been on the road about an hour. It's been raining. It's cloudy. It looks like it could actually snow, and it's cold. But it's beautiful.
You know, they're calling for snow up here in Washington State, all the way over to Idaho, up to high elevation. So, for those of you who think summer is just a week away, which it is, here comes winter just to remind you what it's like. Is it tough handling that bike in the rain, or is it, I've often wondered that, a large Harley Davidson like you ride, is it tough to ride that thing in the rain?
It's not the rain that's hard, it's the wind. And yesterday we had probably 140 miles of pretty fierce winds, because we're going down the road and you can get used to the lean, but when you go on a bridge, it stops, and then when you go through sides of the road that are higher than the road, it stops, and then when you come out, it's a push. So I think the wind is the hardest thing to ride in.
Wow, that's, yeah, I would imagine that on a smaller bike maybe it doesn't affect you, but there's a lot of mass to the Harley that you're driving, especially, and I would think it throws you around a little bit.
I actually think smaller bikes might be more difficult on that wind, because at least the weight, we have weight, and I know it kind of scares cars because it can come up and grab you, and there have been many times people get forced in the other lane of traffic. It's just, that's probably the hardest thing.
See, now, Joni, I'm a big guy, so I have, you know, weight's never a problem for me. It could be a hurricane out there and I don't move. So you stay in one place, you know.
I bet you would, Vinny. I bet you would.
Yeah, I probably would. So how many miles have you accrued now since you started on this trip? I think we spoke to you the last time just as you were going out on the road. I understand that you're in the thousands.
We are currently at 8,065.1 miles. So we're going to end this ride probably at 84,000, 85,000.
Wow, that's amazing. And
8,400, sorry, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of miles on it. But any way you slice it, it's a lot of miles in a car, in a truck, especially the short amount of time that you have been doing it. Now, we'll get to the Harley factory in a minute, because I know about the reception that you got in Milwaukee from the folks at Harley. But besides the Harley, what's been the highlight so far of the trip?
Oh, highlight? The people we have met have been really fun and interesting. I think it's the sights. It's still how beautiful our country is, and we get to drive on right on some back roads, but today there isn't a car that we've seen for quite a long time. And when you've got the backdrop of this crazy looking sky with these luminous clouds, it's just breathtaking. I think we've had some great adventures, like you brought up the Harley opportunity. It's just, we're going to have to go home and digest all of it because it's happened so fast. And 34 days has gone by and I can't remember everywhere we've been, because it's you find a place to land, you crawl in a bed, you get up and you head on.
Yeah.
It feels like we've just been continually going, but we do take the break and we've taken a lot of time to see some sights that we would never have been able to see had we not been on this ride.
Has America, to you, to how you feel, has America changed post-pandemic? Have you seen people more offish, or are they more friendly, or is there anything you notice about the post-pandemic America that maybe is different than it was pre-pandemic?
That's a great question. I'm going to say that people in the Midwest are absolutely the kindest people that I've ever met. Everybody's happy. They're optimistic. We didn't get to interact with a lot on the East Coast. It was pretty fast.
Yeah.
But people are pretty happy to be out of their time out. You still see people with their masks on. And, you know, I remember when everybody was masked up and somebody wasn't masked up, it was like, you have cooties and I have to stay away from you.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten better. People seem to be more participatory in interacting. But I haven't experienced, you know, Canada was probably our most unfriendly area, because they really don't care for Americans, the ones that we ran into. But everyone in the U.S. seems to be very accepting and happy to be moving forward.
Yeah. That's interesting, because, you know, usually it's the other way around. The Canadians are very, you know, except, yeah, like you say, in French, you know, in Quebec and places like that. Yeah, yeah. It still can be a little tough sometimes.
Canada was really great, except Quebec was not as warm and welcoming.
Well, you know what? You know what, Johnny? I'll tell you a little secret about Quebec. When I was a kid, my father used to take us up there all the time, and the Cracker Jack boxes were all in white. They weren't in like they weren't the colored boxes like we had. It was just a white box, and I think that made them a little upset. I think a white Cracker Jack box probably made them upset as kids. And now look, they've never gotten over it. Joni Purcell is with us. She is riding her Harley Davidson around the country, raising money.
They need to pull up their big girl panties and get over it.
Yeah, some, you know, it's traumatic for some kids. You know, I mean, I don't know, or maybe it was having the Montreal Expos up there. I don't know. You're riding around the country, and one of the highlights of this trip is you got to go to Milwaukee and to get a tour and talk to the people at the Harley-Davidson factory and the home base there in Milwaukee. That, for you, must have been a thrill, Joni.
It was exciting. We got up in the morning, and it was raining, pouring rain again. And we rode over to the tour center and got to see how our engines are made. And it was fascinating. And, oh, my gosh, robots are taking over, and how they put it together makes me feel even better about riding a Harley, because it's an art, and it's beautiful. All those internal parts look like a piece of jewelry before they put them into the casing. They were an awesome team, and most of the people we met there were over 20 years employed. So there's like this great big huge happy family. And today we see turnover with people most of them will have 12 jobs in their lifetime. And these people have been lifers. It's pretty cool. But they all get along and seem like this great big family.
Yeah, there must be an immense feeling of pride working there, putting out a product like a Harley-Davidson, which is, you know, the standard. It's you know, and also it's, you know, so famous in movies and so many different stories. I mean, from the old days, I mean, it's just a great American story. And plus, if you work there, you went through some changes when AMF bought them. And, you know, in 20, 25 years, you've seen some stuff and probably worried for a while about your job. But, you know, but they're not really workers. They're like, even the people in the office are like craftspeople.
Mm-hmm. We got to visit with Billy Davidson, and the AMF conversation came up, and he was very, helpful in explaining how that transitioned back to the Davidsons and what that took to make that happen. And it was very gracefully done, and he was a doll. And warm and welcoming. He was sorry his sister wasn't there, but it was a great conversation to get to learn about the company and how they changed it back.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
What was the coolest thing you saw about the Harley-Davidson plant? Was there something that just blew you away when you went in there?
You know, going into the archives and seeing, what do they call them? Concept cars, only these were concept motorcycles.
Yeah.
They were crazy. And why don't you put that out there on the road? It's beautiful. But it's fun to see what they play with and how they come up with other designs. And we went into an area where the archive guy, I can remember his name, but I can't read the second. He's got all these books, and in the books are authentic pictures that go back so long. People sending pictures in that they found in a chest when their grandpa died. It's really fun to know that they have kept the history. And you know, when you ask people what 3M makes, they go, oh, post-it notes. And the truth is, it's Minnesota Mineral and Mining, and they've been on the forefront of changing their company as times changed.
Right.
And the cool thing about Harley is they have a product that they really haven't had to change because it's still desired. And it's still, you know, one of the funnest things to do. So you look at companies that, you know, evolve with changes, which is great. They've been able to just stay in their lane and perfect their product. So I think the archives were very interesting, seeing, you know, all of the motorcycles that they have up on all these racks that will never be ridden. They're just a collection. It was fun. I mean, they had all these racing bikes that they had found. A team had them, and they took them all, and they put them in the archives. And who knows how long that's going to be around or how long we'll be around to get to see it, and I don't know. 500 years or something, but it was very interesting, and I'm really grateful that we were able to meet Billy, meet all the staff, and see the archives, and the museum's beautiful. It's nicely done. They're very tasteful. We had a great time.
Good, good, good. You know, that's the great thing about doing something like the 75 Days of Summer, the tour that you're on, is, you know, you raise money. You have people pledge money, and you raise money, and you've raised how much have you raised so far, Joni?
I think we're just shy of 14,000. I've reposted everything and thought, you know, can we hit 15 by the time we get home? It doesn't matter. What matters is people did contribute, and at least it's a little bit, and a little bit might work. My buddy Mike said, "What if that's all they need to cure it?"
It's such a fun way. It's such a win-win because you get to do something that's really cool. You get to talk to people about it. You get to act as an ambassador for Drive Toward a Cure. People get the satisfaction of watching you and knowing you. It's not sitting in front of a video game or something like that. You're actually watching a human drive their motorcycle all over the country, raise money, see different things. And it takes you, you know, it gives you that immense feeling of when you help somebody, when you do something for somebody, when you take pleasure in their enjoyment. You know, it works for everybody.
There's no downside to it, which is really what life should be. If we could participate at this level all the time, it'd be wonderful. You know, unplugging from work, which I didn't, but unplugging from the TV and the radio and constantly being busy with activities and then plugging into what we have. I'm the luckiest person on the planet right now.
Well, you know, we're lucky to have you to do this because it's such a wonderful thing, you know, helping people raise money to find a solution, a cure, something that will help people with this this disease that, you know, just it so disables people and so, you know, takes their quality of life away. And because you're out on the road doing this, hopefully later this year, I'm going to get out on the road and do something for it. It brings light to it. It makes people think about it. And besides the money you raise, that's something that we have to do too. We have to keep this stuff like in top of mind awareness. And what you're doing really, I think, you know, keeps it, people remember that. And not only does it keep them aware of you on a motorcycle, but it keeps them aware of the people that have this disease and what they can do to help them.
It's a good conversation starter. It's been a lot of fun. I feel very fortunate. I think that Mike and I, at this point, you know, we're getting close to home. And yeah. These clouds are killing me because I'm looking at a peak right now that's still covered in snow. It doesn't look like it's that far away from us, but it's so beautiful. But I do think the last 34 days have been something that we never dreamt would happen the way it happened, but it's been a bonus all the way around.
What is the most beautiful thing? Is there one thing that sticks out in your mind on this whole trip that you were just, you know, you looked at it and you were just awestruck?
It's funny. I'm not going to mention the scenery. I'm going to mention a car coming up and starting to pass, then backs up, gets their camera and takes a picture of the bike, pulls up next to us, gives us the peace sign. The little kids in the back seat waving as we go by them. Those are the sights that add to this terrain and the happiness that we can see in people. People are pretty doggone cool if you let them be.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, that's such a great answer because, you know, normally somebody would say, oh, this mountain or this river or, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But when you put a smile on people's faces, and I know that driving a Harley does that, not only your face, but, you know, people love to talk to people that are on motorcycles. They love to. I mean, there's some idiots out there to try to, you know, run you off the road and stupid stuff like that. But for the most part, people look at somebody on a motorcycle, especially, I mean, really, traditionally, people say, oh, it's a couple of guys on a motorcycle. When you pull off, you take off your helmet, and they see that you're, you know, a beautiful woman. Do people get kind of blown away a little bit by that?
They do. Women are mostly excited and have a conversation. You go in the bathroom and there'll be someone standing there and it's like, is that bike out there yours? Yes. Oh, it's so pretty. And the guys, they look, but they don't want to look. You know, we've gotten guys to a place that they walk on eggshells because they might say or do something wrong. And saying hello to them brings them back. But it's really fun. One hotel we were staying in, I was loading my bike. And I go walking back in, and this little adorable, maybe three-year-old, was at work with his dad. And he looked at me, because I had all the gear on, and he got the biggest smile on his face. And I said, did you want to go with me? And he starts running, and I'm headed to the room to get the rest of the stuff to take out. And his mom comes running at me, and she goes, oh, no, no. I opened the door, and I said, well, he wants to go for a ride. But he was so excited just to see all the goofy stuff that we wear, because he probably hadn't seen that before.
Wow.
And those are the things that are fun. Those are the things that, you know, you want to grab them and kiss them and hug them, and get in trouble for doing that. But those are the things that are fun.
That's a heartwarming story. You know, I mean, that's what we need more of these kinds of stories these days. We see so much bad stuff in the world. It's great to hear the good stuff. You know, it's great to hear that, you know, the people are out there and they're enjoying themselves again, and they're starting to, who knows, maybe your ride made somebody a little kinder that day, and they did something nice for somebody. You never know. I'm one of those internal optimists, you know?
I am too. Mike and I got off to get gas yesterday, and we fill up, and we turn around, and we're headed back to the road, and here's a guy, and I was in front, and Mike was in back, and he was broke down, had the seat off of his bike, and it was a Harley, and Mike yelled at him, did you need help? And we pulled over and ended up, he had a part, and we were headed into Billings, and he said, you know, would you take this in and get me a part and bring it back out? And my question was, because we've got a time crunch, and we need to meet some people today. And so we got the part, went into Beartooth Harley-Davidson, and they didn't have the part, but he gave us his name. I called them, told him they didn't have the part, and told him what the part was because he didn't know. And he said, you know, well, thanks. I said, do you want us to tell him to throw it away? Yep. And then last night he sent a text and said, because I had accidentally sent pictures to him of our granddaughter and not my husband. And I said, sorry, wrong guy. And later he texted and he said, are you the folks that stopped to help me? I said, we are. And he said, that was so nice of you. And I really appreciate that you took the time to try. And, you know, he reached back out. But
that's cool.
We tried to help him, and we really couldn't. At least we tried.
But, you know, like they teach you, you know, when you're growing up and you go to Catholic school, they teach you that, you know, doing the sin is one thing and then thinking about it. Well, I think it works in reverse, too. The intention to help somebody is as good as actually helping them. You know, it's like two good things you're doing. You intend to do it, and even if it doesn't work, you still made the intention. You made the effort. So I think you did good. Joni, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Now, when will you finish up? Sometime this week?
Tonight.
Tonight. Tonight's it. All right. Well, you're finishing up your ride, and people can go on drivetoward-a-cure.org, and we'll put it on our Facebook page, drivetoward-a-cure.org, and it can contribute still to your ride. And also,
if they do, after org/Joni, J-O-N-I, then it will go in to the funds that we've been raising. And if they don't, they're still sending money to the cause.
Right. And that's important. But we'd like you to get the, you know, we want to get you to that $15,000 goal that you have.
That
we want to get you
so
there.
That would be so much fun. That would be awesome.
So
drive to org/Joni.
slash Joni. And then also tomorrow, the drive toward a cure 75 days of summer starts. And go to the website and learn more about there. There's great about that. There's great prizes, over $15,000 in prizes, drawings, grand prizes, and all sorts of cool stuff. A lot of people last year won a lot of cool stuff by contributing because they get a little something back for what they give. Joni, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I wish you continued good luck.
Thank you.
And you take care of yourself and be safe on the road.
Okay, we will. Take good care
of you. All right, Joni, you take care. You can find, if you go to Drive Toward a Cure, Joni's writing a blog about everything she's done, so you can kind of travel, do her travels with her. And, of course, again, as I said, drivetoardacure.org is where you can go find more information about the organization, about the different activities. I think they have something going on in Portland next month, if I'm not mistaken, but a bunch of different activities along the West Coast and even as far back as the East Coast to get you involved with the organization and help raise money to hopefully one day eradicate a disease that I don't know anybody who has some relative somewhere who hasn't endured this disease. So let's, matter of fact, I was just thinking about it last week, where it was Michael Fox's birthday. And, you know, he, of course, his career cut short by Parkinson's disease, and a shining light, though, for people with it, because he's brought attention to it.